As promised, we've got a new guest and a new slot for this time on Monday. His name is Avi Jorish. I've given a very brief introduction. He's an entrepreneur. He's a researcher. He has undergrad and postgraduate studies in everything ranging from history to Islamic history to Arabic and Islamic philosophy. And he's joining us today to talk about his new book, Thou Shalt Innovate, which features 15 innovations. They originated in Israel and which have changed the world for the better. Avi, good afternoon.
Such a pleasure to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
So nice for you to be here. We're very excited. We talked a little bit earlier. We kicked around in studio some ideas of what we consider important innovations. I'm looking at the list here. We've got everything that ranges from water use to agriculture, agri-processing, medical innovations. Can I ask you, this might be unfair, and you might demur because it's like naming your favorite child, but which is your favorite innovation in this book?
They're all my favorite, but let's start with one that I think really is revolutionizing, at least in the meantime, emergency medicine. I love particularly the organization United Hatzalah, which in English is known by United Rescue, and they have reduced the time that it takes to get medical practitioners to the scene of an emergency. If I were to have a heart attack right now, either anywhere around the world, it would take about 20 minutes on average to have an ambulance roll up. In Israel, a country that's been embroiled in war and has had terrorism since basically its very inception 70 years ago, 20 minutes is far too long. Mm. And so my friend and colleague Eli Beer did three things. First, he created an army of emergency responders, which include Christians, Muslims, and Jews, secular, religious. He always says this isn't an Israeli organization or a Jewish organization or a Christian organization. This is a life-saving organization. So he's banded together 5,000 emergency responders. He's given every one of them an application on their phone that acts like Uber. It pings the five nearest emergency responders, and then he gave many of them a moped-like device that's known as an AmbuCycle. And when you combine those three innovations, the average response time in Israel to get a medical practitioner to the scene of an emergency is on average anywhere in the country 3 minutes.
Wow.
And in every major city, it's 90 seconds. So wow. I wouldn't get to say Scooby-Doo, and you'd have an emergency responder literally come to save my life. And so while it still takes 20 minutes for an ambulance to arrive, you now have an EMT or a medical practitioner that arrives at the scene far sooner, saving lives. And now, Israel could have kept this technology for themselves, but instead it has scaled this up around the world. That technology, to one degree or another, is available in 20 countries around the world.
That is amazing. Now, I know from speaking to medical friends, Avi, that when it comes to emergency medicine, we talk about the golden hour, but they also talk about the platinum minute, which I hadn't heard
Correct.
Before, which is that if you can get on the scene, as you say, first responder within 90 seconds, which is practically, I guess, the platinum 90 seconds, then you can attend to all sorts of immediate trauma and achieve things that you wouldn't. So we're talking literally with seconds and minutes count. That's amazing.
And just as interestingly, I was chatting with a colleague a few days ago. It's the idea of post-trauma, and PTSD also plays an important role. And this organization in the last few years has now banded together a team of psychologists that rush to the scene of a medical emergency in order to work with those that are on the scene that have experienced not only physical trauma, but emotional trauma. And one of the best ways to reduce long-term ramifications of that sort of trauma is to have a psychologist on the scene carrying out, I guess, a sort of immediate therapy, talk therapy, to talk about what just happened.
Wow. Oh, okay. So we're talking about actually – that I never actually considered, Avi. So you're saying that the ability to be on the scene first responder when it comes to handling PTSD and psychological trauma, those minutes and seconds also count.
Correct. Incredible. Correct. So obviously, I mean, if you're experiencing a heart attack, or you've gone through a horrible terrorism attack or so on and so forth, you obviously need to save the physical body as quickly as possible. Yes, check. But in addition, they've now deployed these team of psychologists that can also help post-trauma and reduce that amount of trauma long-term.
Wow. So, as you said, it's Uber for first respondents. It's a decentralization of the dispatcher, and it's achieving amazing things. Okay, so I won't ask
you. And not only that, it's also worth pointing out that all these individuals are volunteers. None of these people are paid. And so these people literally are doing this out of the goodness of their heart. They're trained. They want to save lives. And there's no reason why we couldn't have this model in every major city in South Africa. There's no reason why we can't have this in Cape Town and Joburg. You have thousands and thousands of emergency responders. Every one of them has a smartphone, and I think we could put a few rand together to buy a few mopeds in order to get people to the scene of a medical emergency faster. But even if you can't afford the mopeds, everyone has a smartphone, and you have thousands of emergency responders around the country. There's no reason why we can't save lives like this all over the world, including in South Africa.
That is amazing. So, Avi, what's been your favorite response to the book so far? I know it's early days, it hasn't been out for too long yet, but of those people who've read it and come back to you, what's warmed your heart the most?
Well, I will tell you, the book is now coming out in 20 languages over the course of the next year. It's already come out in the last few weeks in Chinese and Korean. And in the next few weeks, I've literally seen the manuscript in Burmese and Spanish and Czech and Vietnamese. It's all coming out. The book, there has been a wonderful, heartwarming response to the book all over the world. Just yesterday, the Minister of Education in the island of Malta wrote a review of the book, interestingly, of how this is a wonderful blueprint that we could use with all children in the island of Malta. But you've had similar responses all over the world. How do we essentially open people's mind to the idea that we can innovate for good? We can improve the lives of billions of people around the world. And these are – every one of us has the responsibility to ask ourselves, what can I do? What gesture, small or large, can I do to make the world a better place? And when you start with that question, there's no limit to what we can achieve. And I challenge each of your listeners to think about what can they do, what is their biggest dream that they can achieve. But that really does happen with small and large gestures. How can we basically leverage medicine, science, agriculture, water in order to repair the world, cure the sick, help the needy, and feed the hungry? And that really is the underlying premise of the book, that yes, we can improve the lives of billions of people around the world. And yes, we can make the world a better place.
Wow. I think that's the best news we've had all day, Lindy. This message of hope and a story about innovation and technology that's actually improving millions and billions of people's lives around the world. Avi Josh, thank you very much. This is the first time you've appeared on our show. Hopefully, we know definitely it won't be the last. We're looking forward to discussing some more uplifting ideas in the weeks to come.
Looking forward to it. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today.